last week. Cam Wiggins did an incredible job. I got more compliments. People excited about him. I've already told Cam, we haven't scheduled the date yet, but he's going to come back. I truly believe it's just a gift and a calling, just something that runs in that Wiggins blood that puts people at ease. They're easy to talk to and easy to listen to. And so we're going to have him back. But, you know, as we come out of changing for good, as we come out of addressing issues in our life, and we're rolling into February today, we're feeling good. We've done our 21 days of prayer. We've made change. Do you know what usually happens? Most of the time, the devil says, okay, you think you got it together? Let's see how you deal with this. Because then he begins to throw stuff at you. Storms begin to show up in our lives. We're going to start today a two-part series, actually, called Prepared. And I noticed this, that over about, I've been in full-time ministry really since 97, 98. And over the last 14 or 15 years, I've noticed something. I've noticed that in this room, we can have 150, 200 people, however many people are here today, and we can all hear the same message. You can have two families sitting side by side, that they're all doing everything they know to do. They're active in the church. They're tithing. They're here every Sunday. Their kids are in youth group. Their young kids are in the children's church. Their babies are in the nursery. They're serving on a dream team. Both families. Yet, and they appear on this. They appear exactly the same. Until a storm shows up. Nobody ever plans for a child to die early. Nobody plans. I said one time a few weeks ago, nobody goes into marriage expecting, well, in 2 days, 2 or 3 days, I'm just going to get a divorce. No matter what their intention, I mean, what the outcome is, everybody's intention is to go into a marriage to be successful. Yet we have two families doing everything right, doing everything that they should be doing, and a storm hits. Yet they don't come out the same. One family comes out stronger to God, stronger with God, closer to God. Another family, the other family comes out running from God. They disappear from church. And it always bothered me, why? Why as we start a new series, why as we start a new year, why do we have some families that have been sitting in church for 14 years, 15 years, hearing the same message every week, another family sitting right beside them hearing the same message every week, and the storm hits, and one survives and one doesn't. Teenagers that will come, and they'll come to church, and they'll come in every week, and they hear the word, and they're in the youth group, and they're doing the motion conference, and they're doing everything. And a storm hits, one comes back, one runs from God. See, there's a reason we're coming out of changing for good and going into this prepared, because I want us to be changed and changed for good and permanent. But we need to know that the Bible says that we're going to hit storms. Look at this verse. John chapter 16, verse 33. We'll find out why we have such drastically different responses between two families. John 16, 33 says that, I've told you these things. This is Jesus talking. Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world, you're going to have some trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. I'm just going to stand up and tell you this morning, don't worry, it's going to get better. I'm going to bring you back up. I'm not going to send you home with the bad news. But the truth of the matter is, you're going to have storms. There are things that are going to happen in your life that you didn't plan on. You didn't buy a new car and drive it off the lot expecting that some ding-dong was going to open the door and smash you at Walmart. Right? Some of you guys are like. Or in my case, I drove to Augusta to meet with a missionary who was in town. And on the way back, a college kid was texting a few weeks, well, back in October. College kid texting me, stopped at a red light. He didn't stop. Shoved me into the back of all things, a tow truck. Yeah, the irony of you wrecking and hitting the back of a tow truck. I didn't plan on that. It wasn't like I left that day going, okay, God, I'm planning, I think I'll have a wreck and I'll just give you the honor and the glory. That's not how it works. If we want to be real about it, it's just not how it works. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, this is Paul talking, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be what? Persecuted. The fancy word for saying it ain't all going to be sunshine and roses and rainbows. And I think we're approaching the difference in why people react so drastically when storms hit. So I'm going to give you four things today, just four, for you to take home this morning. You see, because we need to understand this. Everyone goes through storms. If you took a breath this morning, that includes you. Everyone goes through storms. And beyond that, if you want to put a sub point under this, your problems are not unique. Your issues are not unique. You didn't get up this morning and face a storm and you can't look at God and go, God, nobody else knows what this is like. There's nobody else going through what I'm going through. And see, it's crucial for you to understand because the Bible says that the devil works best in isolation. And the reason that when you have two families or two separate teenagers and they fall, one falls apart, one comes stronger to God, the one that's left is the one that the devil goes and picks off. It's the one that the devil chases after and is the one that begins to be chewed on. And it's like when you see in the wild the lions and the tigers and they chase the deer and the antelope. They don't run after the strongest ones. What do? They split the herd off, split one off, and they just keep working down until they get one and they can overwhelm them. See, your problems are not unique. Look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians. It says that the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Because we want to live in isolation. We want to think if we're isolated that we're the only ones and somehow it's a bigger deal. I was talking with somebody a couple days ago and the things they had gone through their life and had gone through some pretty heavy-duty things. One particular man had years ago was dating a girl and she got pregnant. And he found out years later that she had gone and had an abortion and didn't tell him. And he said to me, I just don't, does this only happen to me? And you want to be comforting, but my answer was simple. Really? No. Does it make it any easier to deal with? No. But when you understand that you're not in isolation, your problems are not unique to the world. The Bible actually says about Jesus that he was tempted in every way that we could be tempted. The difference was he didn't mess up. His decisions were always the right ones. He stayed on the right side. The storms that we hit, the things that we do, begin to take us to a place where we're not making good decisions. And you find yourself off from the herd. You find yourself away from church. You find yourself out of your grow group. You find yourself backing out of your dream team. I'm not going to serve today. You don't understand what I'm going through. This is rough. And it's not to negate or to lessen the pain that you feel, the things we walk through. But the truth of the matter is, it's nothing new. It's nothing new that the devil hasn't thrown at somebody else. And here's the other reason we back away. I'm just going to give you two this morning, and I'm going to give you two on the good side. Storms are not a sign of failure. There are a lot of us, and probably some of you sitting in the room today, who have told me or your pastor, wherever you may be at church, if you're visiting today, and you say, listen, I can't come work. I can't serve as an usher or a greeter or volunteer in the nursery. You don't know where I've been. And my response is, I really don't care. Now, is there earthly and wisdom that we need to use? Yes. We use wisdom and walk you through healing, but I truly believe that there's no one that can't walk through a complete restoration and healing. But a lot of us will say, well, I can't go back to church. Well, why? Because I've been in this place. This place that wasn't good. I can't go back to church. I can't be a part of the youth group. I just can't. Why? Because I've been in this storm. So we think that storms to everybody else means I failed, and we get prideful, we get embarrassed. I'll be completely transparent with you this morning, and I've said this. I have both sets of parents here this morning. My in-laws and my parents are here this morning. As a pastor, having a special needs child, probably about 2, maybe 3 years ago, was a storm that suddenly, Emma's 12, and suddenly 3 or 4 years ago, as a pastor, Satan kept coming at me with this, how can you pray for healing? How can you pray with Angie for healing when your own daughter is struggling with something? And I allowed Satan in this one area of my life to get me kind of isolated. And get me alone in my thoughts and get me, I don't know. You're right. I'll let Melanie pray for you. I'll let somebody else pray. We'll let Bob can pray for somebody's healing. I won't do it. You see, 12 years ago or so when Emma was diagnosed and we were told she has all the issues, and I won't go into that again. Most of you heard the story. She was 6 months old. That wasn't a storm I was expecting. Nobody goes, we're having a baby and she's going to have issues. Or he's going to have issues. We're getting married and we're going to have kids and we're going to, man, we're just going to have major issues. Nobody plans that way. You're having baby showers. If you're getting married, you're having wedding showers and you're getting all kinds of cool free stuff. That was my favorite part of getting married, is going to Target with the little gun and just scanning everything. How big, Melanie said, we don't need 6 TVs. I know, but I can scan them. So I started at the 20-inch TV and went all the way to the 80-inch TV. And I figured I'll get somebody to buy one of them. We don't even camp, and we were scanning tents. You see, that's the way we plan. We don't plan to go through life, to go through the storms. But when they hit, why do we use that as an excuse to pull away? Why do we use that as an excuse to not be used by God? Why do we back up? Because everybody goes through storms, and it's not a sign of failure. You see, what we do is we get caught up in the why. I heard somebody call it this one time. They called it the why trap. It's the question that I asked God for many times after we found out about Emma. God, why? Is there something I'm supposed to learn? Is there something that we're supposed to learn? Why? Why did this happen to me? Why did my parents get divorced? Why did my mom die? Why did my dad die? Why did my marriage fail? Why? And we drowned in the trap called why. I'm going to show you why. Look at 1 Peter. It's talking about the devil. It says, stay alert. Watch out, because you have a weak, no good, not very powerful enemy. No, look what it says. You have a great enemy. And he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We don't have to answer the question why. We know the why. The why and the truth of the matter is that there is a real devil and he really wants to take us out. He doesn't want to just wound you. He doesn't want to just knock you off your horse. He wants to take you out. And he can't take salvation from you, but if he can get you to heaven quicker, then you're out of here. He can't take away from you the salvation of what Jesus did on the cross for you if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But I've watched teenagers, truly gifted, great athletes, great musicians, great people of God, and they get taken out and go to heaven because they backed away from God. They walked away. They were changing for good. Life's going great, and they backed up. Because the why is not important. I'll tell you the why. For just a second in your mind, think of one of those storms in your lives. Just picture it in your head. You found out your mother, your father was sick, you found out that somebody was going behind your back, whatever that situation is, and then you ask the question, why? Why did this happen to me? Why me? Why me? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to answer the question for you today so you can quit asking it. And the answer is, you have an enemy, and the enemy wants to take you out. All this mess that it just drives me. I'm going to get on a soapbox for a minute, so just, if you don't like it, plug your ears. It drives me nuts to hear people say, well, God must want to teach me something by giving me this disease. But God must want to teach me something by my car breaking down. God's wanting to teach me something. I had four dogs die this week. God's trying to teach me something. No, he's not. All he's trying to point out to you is you have an enemy, and the enemy, the Bible says, is after you. And the why is not important. And the why is easily answered, because he hates you, and he hates everything about God, and if you're of God, he hates you, and that's it. And when we understand that you have an enemy, and that the Bible says that all good and perfect what? Gifts come from who? God didn't put cancer on you. God didn't cause you to be broke. Matter of fact, I'll say this, when it comes to money, we really don't need the devil. We can screw it up all by ourselves. We blame a lot of stuff on the devil, but when we're really honest about it, we just can't keep the credit card in a pocket. Or we can't keep from, you know, making unwise decisions with our money. But the bottom line truth is, storms are not a sign of failure. Because if it's a failure for us, then how does this work with God? The storms you walk through, the Bible says that you can just repent. You can come back. The attacks of the enemy, we'll see in a minute, the Bible's very clear of how this works. And I can hear you saying, okay, Clint, great. You're telling me we all go through storms. Thank you for a great sermon. Let's all go home. I knew that. I didn't have to come to church this morning to find out that I'm walking through some crap in my life. I didn't have to get up this morning. I've been through enough life to understand that junk happens, and it happens to me. I seem like I get a lot of it. That happens to everybody. Great. Well, knowing that my neighbor goes through junk doesn't help me any. What am I supposed to do about it? Well, you remember the two families we talked about? They're actually in the Bible. They actually tells us what one did and what the other one did and didn't do, and the one that failed and the one that succeeded. Probably a very familiar passage of scripture. Look at this in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is what? Not a trick question. It's on the screen behind me. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. 25. Though the rain comes and the torrent and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse. It will not collapse. Remember, everybody's got storms. Verse 26. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is what? Foolish. Because look what happens. Like a person who builds a house on the sand. In verse 27. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it might collapse. It's possible that it collapse. There's a 50-50 chance. You can roll the dice. You can rub your Ouija board. You can. No, it says, look what it says. It will crash. So now we're looking at two people. One the Bible calls wise, one the Bible calls foolish. And we ask the question, how do two people hear the same message week after week? They're serving God, they're tithing, they're giving, they're doing everything they know to do. And we ask why. Well, let me show you. The wise man. Keep these two families in mind. Did both of them hear the word? Yes. Put a check mark in both of them. What did the word say? We'll just assume for the sake of the story, the word told them, you need to build a house. I'm going to ask you to step out in faith and go do something. I'm going to give you a direction to follow. I'm going to take you on a certain path, and you just need to be obedient. Okay, did they both build a house? Now they've built the house. Nice two-story house, wraparound front porch, white picket fence, 2.3 kids, and the perfect black lab dog. Right? Then what happens? Storm hits. Newlyweds figure out, this guy, this girl ain't exactly all that I thought he or she was. And you're laughing because you've all, if you've been married more than 15 minutes, you've had that experience. Right? The underwear on the floor. The seat up or down. Toilet paper, roll over the top, roll over the bottom. Do you put the bread on the counter or do you put the bread in the fridge? Do you spin the bread and put the twist tie back on it or do you spin the bread, fold it under and set it down? I prefer the spin, fold, and put down. Why put a twisty back on it when somebody's going to come undo it? The storms of life. Yeah, thank you, Larry. Spin the bread, fold it under, and put it up. There's no reason to twist it. The twisty just falls on the floor, and then it gets sucked up in the vacuum cleaner. It's just a headache. See, now the storms are starting to roll in. Then we move from the bread to the who's paying the bills. Who's tithing? Did we tithe this month? Did we give God the first and the best of our lives? Well, I don't want to tithe. Your wife says, well, I'm going to tithe. What do we do now? She gets pregnant. You have a baby. You think you're going to discipline the kid this way. She's had a wholly different story. She comes from a house where nobody talked. Nobody yelled. Nobody screamed. They never worked anything out. You came from a house where you screamed at everybody. Something goes wrong, and next thing you know, y'all shout and scream at each other for 15 minutes. You work it out, and then you move on. Now, how are we going to raise this child? Now the storms are coming. Then the child goes into high school, wants to date, wants to drive. How are we going to handle this? Then your child goes into college. How are we going to pay for school? Now you're in an empty nest. Now, as an empty nest, now the husband gets bored and he starts messing around. Now the storms are coming. Nobody plans these things. So we can say for both people, because the Bible tells us that everybody what? Everybody goes through storms. So we check both boxes. They experienced a storm. But now we tend to separate those who succeed from those who fall apart. What did the Bible say? Those who hear my teaching and what? Obey. Do it. They're doers of the word. Did the wise man hear and obey and do it? Check the box. What did the Bible call the man who heard the word, built a house, went through storms, but didn't do it? Foolish. He didn't do it. It's not rocket science. A lot of times as pastors, we want to make it deep and I want to give you this great revelation, but it's simple. Jesus taught preparation. Jesus taught his disciples to prepare. Give me this day my daily bread, preparing me for the next. Lead me not into temptation. In other words, God, I know you don't lead me into temptations, but you're going to lead me somewhere else, and I'm going to follow you. And you're doing this daily. Jesus told the disciples, you're going to go into places where they're not going to accept you. They're not going to like what you have to say. They're going to talk bad about you. Guys, you're going to go to school. You're going to go into the high school, and your friend, eventually, somebody you think is a friend, is going to talk bad about you. Parents, you're going to have a child, and I'm just here to bust your bubble wide open this morning. Your children are not perfect. They are going to screw up. You don't have to teach children to sin. They come by it naturally. If you don't believe me, take a toy, a new toy, and put it in between two kids. there will be all-out war. That's where I think the Bible talks about the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever seen 2 3-year-olds fight over a toy? Have you ever seen 2 teenagers want the same thing? We can act holy, guys, but I know what it's like when you say, ooh, I like her, and the other guy says, ooh, I like her. It's on. Y'all are going to the gym and doing sit-ups and walking around like this. I was there. I went to the beach. Summertime from May till June, you're doing sit-ups every day. Because you wanted to be the one to go get what you want, so somebody couldn't take it from you. You see, Jesus taught the preparation of it. The reason that one family walks away and the reason that one family comes out stronger is because one family just wasn't doing what they were hearing. They weren't moving forward and being doers of the word. You see, the storms don't worry God. And I added this morning, so this is not going to be on your notes, but I'll give it to you. See, the storms don't worry God. As we would like to think maybe in our mind, when that doctor told me about Emma, God did not fall off his throne and go, did you know this, Jesus? I didn't see this coming. No, Daddy, I didn't see it coming either. When you wrecked your brand new truck, or you know your spouse or your partner, whoever in your life, they cheated on you, God's not going, I never saw this coming. I'm totally caught off guard. I must have been asleep this day. It just doesn't happen. And he's not worried about it because he's given us the answer. And this is the verse that's not in your notes. It's Isaiah 54. Look at this verse. If you don't take anything home today, take this verse home today. And I give you permission to make a fool of yourself. And here's how. If you're walking through a storm, you got mess going on at your house, when you go home today, you go to the front door of your house, you open up the front door of your house, and you, in the loudest voice you can, say, devil, get out. And then you walk to the front door, and you quote this scripture. And I don't mean just, don't quote it like some of you pray. You're loud. Y'all have loud voices. I can hear y'all coming across the parking lot. Yet when you come in here, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You'll refute every tongue that accuses you. Don't do that. Stand at your front door. Men, if you're the man of your house, open the front door. Don't kick it open, but just open it. The bravado in us wants to go and just kick it down. And stand there and say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. That God, you'll come against every tongue that accuses me. That this is my, what? Heritage. See, the Bible says that when you become a Christian, that you're grafted into the family. And you have full rights just as Jesus does. That we are brothers and sisters of Christ and we're sons and daughters of God. You have heritage. Teenagers, when they look at you and say, I know you want to be this, and I know you want to go to this college, and I know you want to play this sport, and I know, and you're just not going to be good enough. Don't do this at school because it'll get you in trouble. But you can look back and go, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Nothing is going to keep me from going where God has for me to go. And stand at your house, and I've done it. And my neighbors probably think I'm crazy. Because I've been there where my kids are sick, my wife's sick, I'm sick. Stuff's breaking, stuff's falling apart, we're going through storms. Well, instead of asking why, instead of feeling like I'm a failure because I must be doing something wrong because all these things are happening. Don't get me wrong, we can bring things on ourselves. But the devil is out to destroy you. So stand at your front door and say, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Not because I'm something special, but because of who I'm associated with. I have a heritage. See, Jesus taught people, be prepared. I love this word as you read on in this. It says, this is a heritage for the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication. The definition of vindication means proving a point where somebody should not be blamed. Notice that word there, should not be blamed. Are we guilty of sin in our lives? I'm the only one? Wow, man, we need to switch places. Are we guilty of not doing everything that God asked us to do? If you have been perfect, raise your hand. Now, if you've screwed up once in your life, raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. But look what this says. The vindication means they should not be punished. They should not be judged for it. What did Jesus do for us? He took our punishment. He took it on him and said, listen, these guys are guilty of sin. This whole humanity, they screwed it up royally. Adam and Eve, you can blame it on the woman, blame it on the man, but the bottom line is, they screwed it up, right? But when Adam and Eve fell, I believe God looked down through history and said, yeah, but on this date right here, I'm going to vindicate them. So they can stand at their front door and go, devil, nothing you can come up with is going to take me out. No voice you rise up and accuse against me, even though it's probably true. I have done and said and not behaved. God says that I've been vindicated. That I'm not going to have to pay the price for my sin, that Jesus, you paid the price for my sin. See, Jesus taught preparation. The way you go to heaven is you receive salvation. You receive what he's done for you. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to show you preparation. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, remember what we said about therefore? Does anybody remember? When you read therefore, stop, because it's there for a reason. It's there for, it's trying to tell you something. Look what it says. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor. Does it say, go to battle, then put it on? I remember one time when I was playing middle school football, and those of you guys who play football will appreciate this. There are two stories, and I don't know if, Dad, y'all remember this or not, but I remember the first time I played soccer all the way through 6th, 7th grade, and then 7th grade, 8th grade, I decided to play the real man sport and go over to football. I wanted to break some heads and break some arms and really, And I remember Coach Hill, his name was Coach Ernest Hill. He was an all-star track athlete and was our coach. He comes in and says, Clint, here's your stuff. Dumps this pile of stuff. I go to do my best to put things where it goes and tuck stuff in places. And I come running out and the coaches are just cracking up. And Coach Hill says, Williams, you got something wrong with your knees? No, coach, they're there. He goes, well, last I checked, your knees weren't up here on your thigh. What do you mean, coach? He goes, you got your knee pads and your thigh pads backwards. So the knee pads had these big thigh pads down here, and they were just flapping as I ran. Just looked hideous. A few weeks later, we got into our first game, and I don't remember the kid's name, but it was a away game. We get on the bus. We go to the field. You go through pregame warm-up. They bring you to the side. Okay, everybody ready? Rah, rah, rah. Let's go, let's go. Middle school football. Now, we're big men. I mean, we're eighth graders. We know what we're talking about. Kickoff happens. They kick the ball off. We receive the ball. Our offense goes out there. And the running back runs out there. And all the other 21 players on the field, the other team and all of our guys, are all looking at this, at our running back like, you forgetting something? And he's like, no, let's go. Come on, snap the ball. I'm going to run. I'm going to score. Referee comes over. Son, you got a little issue here. What is it, sir? You ain't got no helmet. And you could see him go. Then the search was on. Running through the sidelines, helmets flying. They're trying to get other kids' helmet, little skinny kids' helmet, shoving it down on a big fat kid's head. Big head won't go. Skinny kid helmet don't fit on a big boy. They're running around. Finally, they take him out of the game, put in the other guy who was really not that great. So now the little skinny guy who wasn't playing is now playing. And the guy that got yanked, his helmet is in the locker room. No, I'm sorry, on the bus. You see, we face the storms that the devil throws at us just like this little kid. We put on part of it. Get your knee pads kind of messed up, shoulder pads turned around sideways, and we forget the helmet. Jesus said, listen, I've given you everything you need. So therefore, why is it there? Put on every piece of armor. We're actually going to do a series coming up in the weeks to come called Armor. That you put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, that your feet are shod with the peace of God, that you have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is your Bible. We're going to do a series, and we're going to talk about each one of those. You see, the difference between the two men and the two families. One was doing the word. Here, at Believers, we would say one's taking the step. It's what's on the front door. Take one step. God's asked you to do something, take a step. He's asked you to put on all the armor of God. Put it all on. Take a step. One small step at a time. We're not asking for anything big other than just one small step. You see, it's why we have today, after church, Church 101, the first part of our growth track. If you've not signed up, no big deal. We got plenty. Come on and join us. We'll be next door in the blue room. That's why we have the growth track. You see, it's not for membership, but it's for your growth. It's to help you move along and live in your purpose, the reason God created you, that we become doers of the word. You'll go through Church 101. You'll go to Essentials 201, which is on the 15th of this month. And it's just a basic playbook. What you need to be successful as a Christian. For those of you who have been saved a long time, it's a great refresher. For those of you who are just new to this game, it's a great thing to have. Then we take you into 301 and 401 and help you find and get you directing toward where you can serve and what rings your bell, what gets you excited. What's your purpose? It's why we have the dream team. It's what I talked about earlier, people over there praying over those kids right now. They're doers of the word. It's why we have grow groups, because your storm is not unique. You can go sit in a grow group, which we start family dinner this week, then our grow groups launch on February the 8th of that week. You can find a group. It's what I love about watching Cam and the Motion grow group that meets on Wednesday nights. They sit and they start talking about life. Yeah, I had to go through that too. Oh yeah, I did that too. Or to be in here and watch, I think Chuck's group meets in here and they sit up front and they're just talking about life. Yeah, I had kids that just wouldn't obey either. Yeah, my wife and I fought like cats and dogs, and this is what we did. And we, you know, this is the scripture we use. This is the prayer we prayed, and this is what we did. See, that's preparation. I can't tell you the power it has in your life when you wake up in the morning and the storms hit, and your first thought is not why, or it's not I'm failing because I've got a storm, but when your first thought is, thank God he put me in a group of people who've been there before. That you can go and say, I need help. I've found myself to be dealing with this addiction and I don't know what to do. Oh, okay, well, I've been there before. Let me help you with it. That's preparation in groups. That's the doing of the word and dream team. It's the growth track that we're taking one step at a time. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen. Do God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. If you read that passage of scripture, he talks about you look in the mirror and forget what you look like. Sometimes looking at yourself in the mirror is not fun. I personally hate it. Strange coming here and guy that's teaching you and speaking through a microphone this morning. I hate the sound of my voice. I tune out my voice. I don't hear my voice right now. I hate it. I go back and listen to the podcast and the recordings just because it helps me get better. And I wish I'd have done this, wish I'd have done that. But I sound like this in my head. That's what I sound like. Not gruff. And, you know, I want to sound like T.D. Jakes. I got several things going for me. I'm a few pounds light and I'm the wrong color. I just got to accept that. But sometimes looking in the mirror for us, this scripture says you look in the mirror and you forget who you are. Sometimes we need to look back in the mirror and go, I am in the heritage of God. I'm a brother and sister of Christ. I'm a child of God, and no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. No, nothing that comes against me and accuses me is going to stand, because my heritage says I'm what? I'm vindicated. Because I've prepared myself by doing the word, not just hearing it. Because, here's your final blank, hearing is not enough. Guys, I can sit here, and Cam could be up here, Melanie could be up here. We've got some actually good guest speakers coming in the next couple weeks. Kenny will be here, Pastor Tom will be here. We can bring T.G. Jakes himself and put him in front of you, and he can give you a word. He can let you have it. Rip it up one side and down the other, spit flying everywhere. Giving you words and prophecies and just going for it. But the truth of the matter is, until you decide to do the word, the storms you go through, the Bible's very clear. Matthew chapter 7, start in verse 24 and read. When you get to the end, the one who hears my word but doesn't do it might crash. No, will crash. And when we do the second part of this, I'm going to actually talk about it. I'm going to tell you. How do we become doers of the word? What does that mean? Sounds good, but what is it? How do we walk this out practically? Because it's easy to say, yeah, I'm a doer of the word. What are you doing? I don't know, but he said to be a doer of the word. What are you doing differently? I don't know. Because hearing is not enough. You need to understand there's no place you've been, there's no sin you've committed, there's no area of your life, nowhere you can go or think about going that the Bible says will separate you from the love of God. It's the scripture that I didn't know Wesley was going to use the scripture. He said it in worship, and I'll show it to you again here, but look at Romans chapter 8. You guys come on up. Look at Paul's writing in Romans. That I'm convinced that neither life nor death nor angels nor demons nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, in verse 39, neither the height or depth or anything else in all of creation will be able to do what? Separate me from the love of God. That we are moving forward, that our preparation that we're doing now, we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. Why don't you stand with me real quick? I want to give you one more scripture, and then I'm going to dismiss you. Look at this scripture in Philippians. Some of you are going to say, well, Clint, I want to do it, but I just don't have the strength. Every time I try, I fail. When I get up, I fall apart. When I go forward, I fall backwards. I can't do it. Let me put everybody at ease. Let me have all your eyes just for a second. Put you all at ease. You are right. You can't do it. Don't try. If you want to try, go on out there. You'll be back. Go out in the world, try your thing, and try it by yourself. I promise you, you'll fail every time, and you'll come back. And the good thing about grace and mercy is the Bible says he'll bring you right back in. Look what this verse says. For God is working in you. I rephrase it by saying God is preparing you. Teenagers, God is preparing you for what he has for you. He doesn't just drop you in the middle of it. Ashton, he doesn't drop you in the middle of what's coming in your college and your sports career and go, okay, now get ready. What you're doing now prepares you for the future. The relationships you have now are going to be the picture of what your future looks like. So God's working, and it says God is working in you, giving you the desire, in other words, the craving to get up and follow him, to do the word, and what? The power to do anything you want to do. To do what's fun? Not necessarily, but look what it says. To do what pleases him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for my friends, my family here, Father. And first off the bat, for my friends here who don't know you. They've never received Jesus. They're hearing the word for the first time today. Or Father, maybe they knew you and they've run away from you and they're coming back and they need to move forward with you. They need to come back and receive your grace and your mercy. Whichever category that is, you've never met Jesus or you need to meet him for the first time today. with every head bowed, every eye closed, just shoot your hand up. I want to pray with you. I promise I give you the no-hassle guarantee. We're not going to knock on your door. We're not going to bother you. This is just so we can pray together. If you would say, God, I got to come home. God, I don't want to fall apart in the storm. I want to be the wise man. Whether it's for the first time or you're returning, if that's you, just wave at me. I saw a couple hands. All right, let's pray this together. Everybody pray this like you're cheering for your favorite team that's not in the Super Bowl. Say, Father God, today I receive your love. I confess you now as my Lord and my Savior. I believe it in my mind and I confess it from the sole of my heart that you are my God, my King, and you sent your Son for me. Father God, prepare me for what's ahead, that I may be the wise man and do what I've heard. Do your word. And I thank you for grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible says that when somebody comes back to God, that the angels and the elders in heaven, they all stand up and start clapping and cheering. That you ought to be singing louder now than you will be tonight when the Seahawks win.